We're still talking about on trying to understand the word kavla, that we said a woman's not allowed to go out with kavla into Rishus Rabbim. So Shmuel says that kavla is a badge worn by a servant. How could Shmuel say that's what the Mishnah means and says it's also to go out with that? Shmuel elsewhere says that a servant is allowed to go out with a badge that shows that she's a servant on Shabbos. Where it says when the master makes the badge, so it's mutter to wear it outside because the servant's afraid to remove it. When the slave made the badge, he can't wear it outside, or she can't wear it outside, because then the master doesn't care as much if she removes it, and therefore she may come to carry it. The problem is Shmuel said it's only mutter when you wear it around your neck, not when you wear it on your clothing. So I said, but if it's we're talking about where the master made the badge, then why can't she wear it on her clothing? My answer is because we're afraid the badge is going to fall off, and because out of fear of the master, she's going to carry then her coat and fold it over in the place where the badge was, so no one should see the badge is missing. So that's why it's a gzeir that she may come to carry Dalad Amos which is a rabbin with the coat folded over in that way, which would be an Issa Deraisa. We find that Shmuel says the same thing about the badge given out by the Reish Galusa. He told Rav Chanan bar Shila, the Rabbanon can't go out with that badge on Shabbos because they're afraid if it falls off that Reish Galusa will see that it's missing, so they would carry their coat, etc. Whereas you, Rav Chanan bar Shila, you're not afraid of the Reish Galusa, they're not makbet on you, and therefore you would be able to go out with that badge on Shabbos. So Brisa says the same thing like Shmuel, that a slave could go out with a badge around his neck, but not on its clothing. However, another Brisa says that a servant is not allowed to go out with a badge around the neck or on the clothing. And it says that both badges are not Mekabel Tumah. So should we say that the first Brisa is talking about where the master made it, and the second Brisa over here is talking about where the slave made it, so that's why he may end up carrying it, and that's why you're not allowed to go out with that? More answers, no, it could be both are talking about where the master made the badge. The first Brisa is talking about where the badge was made of clay, so if it falls off, he's not going to carry it home because it's not a Dover Choshev. Whereas the second Brisa is talking about where the badge was made of metal, and therefore if it falls off, he's going to carry it home because it's more of a Dover Choshev, which the master would be makbet on. You can prove that this is what the second Brisa is talking about, because the second Brisa is not Mekabel Tumah. Now, if it's made of earthenware or earth, then why would you even think, if it's made of clay, why would you think it's Mekabel Tumah? Even a keli made of clay is not Mekabel Tumah. So rather, it must be talking about metal badges, and no, as soon as this is a metal, keli is normally Mekabel Tumah. The Brisa has to say that this badge made of metal is not Mekabel Tumah. Brisa also said that the slave is not allowed to go out with a bell around his neck, but he could go out with a bell attached to his clothing. Now, the reason you're allowed to go out with a bell around attached to the clothing is because is only because it's attached by a professional, because that's why you have no chash that it may fall off and you may come to carry it. The reason why it's also around the neck because it may fall off and you may come to carry it. Bryce also said that an animal can go out with a badge around its neck or attached to any of its clothing, or with a bell around its neck or on its clothing. The badge or the bell of an animal is not mekabel. The badge or the bell of an animal is not mekabel tumah. The problem is that there's another brisa that says that the bell of an animal is mekabel tumah. Where it says the first brisa is talking about a bell that has a clapper. That's why it's a keli. It's mekabel tumah. The brisa that says it's not matama, it does not become tumah, is a bell without a clapper. So that's why it's not mekabel tumah. We find this concept with Shmuel ben Achmeni and Rabbi Yonason, who says that a metal kli that's made to make noise, so when it makes noise, it's mekabel tumah. But if it can't make noise, it's not mekabel tumah. But the brisa earlier, when it was talking about a slave, it said that the bell is mekabel tumah. Now, if we're talking about a bell, the brisa we just showed is talking about a bell that doesn't have a clapper, and that's why it's not mekabel tumah by an animal's bell. Then why, if it doesn't have a clapper, why is the bell of a slave mekabel tumah if it doesn't have a clapper? The more answers, a bell that's made only for sound, so it's only mekabel tumah when it has a clapper, but the bells that are attached to an adult person, they're not just made for noise, they're made for decoration, and therefore they're even mekabel tumah even when there's no clapper, because it's still there for decoration. Bryce also said that if a bell was tomei and then the clapper was taken out, it remains tomei. Aye, but what are they fit for at that point? Again, if it's a bell that's made for noise, then if the clapper is taken out, the chayr doesn't have that din of a keli anymore, it should lose its tumah. Abaya says, since you don't need an expert to fix this bell, so it keeps its din as a keli of a bell, and therefore it retains its din of tumah. Rava asked, a Mishnah says that a bell and a clap and its clapper are considered to be attached for tumah purposes, meaning you touch one, the other one becomes tummy. That means that the clapper is considered to be an integral piece of the bell itself. So Ibazoi, when the clapper is removed, it should lose its din as a keli, because an integral piece of the keli has been taken away, it should lose its din of a keli. And you can't say that it means that they're considered attached even when they're not physically attached, because we learned a brisa earlier that says that when you have scissors, that can be that even though the two pieces of the scissor are considered to be attached when they are attached like one, but as soon as you take them apart, they're no longer considered to be attached. So the same thing over here would be with the bell and the clapper. Rava says, since the bell, even without a clapper, you can make noise with that bell just by hitting it against something hard, even when the clapper is not in, it still can make noise, and therefore it still retains its din as a keli, and that's why the bell retains its din of tumah, because it still has the din of a regular keli, a bell that's a keli. Rabbi Yochanan says the reason why it still has the din of a keli, and we'll pick up with this again tomorrow, is because you can use the bell, even without the clapper, to take water in it to bring it to a child to drink. We'll continue with the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan in tomorrow's daf.